Good morning, Trinity Evangelical Free Church. It's wonderful to be here with my wife, Jenny, here in Treasure Valley at your church for this high day for your pastor, Pastor Sam Tremaine, and for you, Becky, Pastor Sam's wife. We just honor you, Pastor Sam and Becky, and we honor you as a church as you are today ordaining your precious pastor. I would invite you this morning, if you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19 and reading through verse 26. I've entitled this message, A Good Man and Full of the Holy Spirit. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And so here, because of the persecution that arose around Stephen, everyone is scattered to Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, and they're sharing Christ with Jews, but now there are some that come to Antioch, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, that are preaching to Gentiles. That's people like you and me here at Trinity, Evangelical Free Church. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So now there are Gentiles receiving Jesus, and news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. You can imagine what they thought when they heard this, the rumblings that went on back in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. They sent a loving man with a loving heart and a level head. Then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on this ordination charge. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I come into your presence. I thank you for this wonderful honor to be here to preach this ordination message. And now I ask, Lord, that you would speak to hearts and that there would be people here today whose lives would be changed. People here without Jesus who would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak especially to Pastor Sam and Becky. Challenge them and use this message deeply in their lives. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Dearly beloved, it's my deep joy, my high honor, and my bounden duty as your superintendent to be here today to deliver this ordination charge to your pastor. Some of the words I say will be directly addressed to you two, Pastor Sam and Becky Tremaine, but much of this message will be addressed to you all as individual believers, and especially to you corporately as the local flock that Pastor Sam is shepherding. I trust this ordination charge for your pastor will not only challenge you, Pastor Sam and Becky, but that it will serve as a kind of benchmark for you as a church for the days ahead. I hope this message will help you all pray more fervently for Pastor Sam and Becky, as Pastor Sam is ordained today by you in this local church. This day is a high day in the life of your pastor. I trust that you, Pastor Sam and Becky, will not forget this day. I also trust that you as a church will never forget this day when you laid holy hands upon your shepherd to publicly ordain him to gospel ministry. I further trust that each of us involved in this ordination service today will realize we are affirming God's prior call of Pastor Sam Tremaine. We're publicly honoring and seconding the motion of the ordination of Pastor Sam that God sealed on his life many years ago when he called Pastor Sam to pastoral ministry. Over 150 years ago, a powerful 19th century poet of Puritan stock, Josiah Holland, knew the remedy for America. He said, "God, give us men." A time like this demands strong minds, great hearts, true faith, and ready hands. Men whom the lust of office cannot buy. Men who will not lie. Men who will stand before a popular leader and condemn his treacherous flatteries without winking. Tall men, sun-crowned, who live above the fog in public duty and private thinking. Pastor Sam, you are one such man. I salute you, and we all salute you by faith today in this public ordination charge. God has shown me that you are a Barnabas of a pastor. Hence, I want to study with all of us today the life I believe God would have you, Pastor Sam, use as your model of ordained ministry. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, I read these words. Now there were in Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me, or ordain for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them." Today I want to follow some of the adventures in the book of Acts, in this exciting book regarding the life of Barnabas that are recorded here. I call you, Pastor Sam, to model for your people a life that all of your people can follow. You'll remember that Paul once said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, "I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me." And then, using the same word for followers or imitators, mimetes, M-I-M-E-T-E-S, Paul went on to say in the first letter to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." This little Greek word, mimetes, that Paul used, it means, mimetes means to mimic, to imitate. You can hear the word. To be a follower, or to constantly be modeling something that others can have the same habit and practice as you do as their leader or pastor, Pastor Sam. This is a high calling, but it's your calling, Pastor Sam, to which the church is ordaining you today. Though we have lots of information about the Apostle Paul and his work in the early church, we have far less information about the man who mentored him. But that's the one we're going to talk about, the one who mentored the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Barnabas. In the figures who founded the Christian church, Paul is one of the greatest lights along with the Apostle Peter. Barnabas, that mentored Paul, is one of the lesser lights. And yet behind the scenes, without the lesser role of Barnabas, we may have never known of the greatness of the Apostle Paul. This ordination charge today, Pastor Sam, is asking you to model after this special man of God. And it's asking your church to model after you, for you are a special man of God, Pastor Sam. I don't believe you're known all over Treasure Valley as the greatest light among the gospel preachers, any more than Barnabas was known as the greatest light among the gospel preachers of his day. But you are a great light in God's sight. And you are a great, great, great light in my eyes, Pastor Sam. Your pastor, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, your pastor is your great pastor. And I call you to this holy charge, along with Pastor Sam's wife, I call you all to follow Pastor Sam as he follows Christ. And I call you, Becky, to follow Pastor Sam as you are his helpmeet. I call you as a flock to imitate three major models of Pastor Sam's life that I see in the life of Barnabas. What are they? Three major models. Number one, I call you all to follow the encouragement of your pastor in laying down your lives and treasures at the feet of Jesus. Would you turn with me for a moment? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 4, verses 34 to 37, where we read, "For there was not a needy person among them," that's in the church in Jerusalem, "for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles," which translated means son of encouragement, "and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." You'll notice that this first mention of this Levite of Cyprus or Cyprian birth was called Barnabas by the apostles. He was named Barnabas for a good reason. Bar means son of, and Nabas means encouragement, exhortation, or prophecy. We find this man, this son of prophecy, exhortation, or encouragement, 24 times in the book of Acts, and we find him five other times mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9:6, Galatians 2, 1, 9, and 13, and Colossians 4:10. In our text, Barnabas led the way in modeling the life of one who lays down his life and his possessions for the needs of others. Pastor Sam, never forget it, at the most elemental level, shepherding is laying down your life for your sheep. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This word, laying down our lives or our finances, our treasures, as Barnabas did, is spoken of further by Jesus in John 10, verse 17 and 18, where we read, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." What am I calling you to do, Pastor Sam and Becky? Acts 4:37 tells us that Barnabas owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Jesus' word about laying down his own life is the same Greek word used of Barnabas laying down the entire price of the land he sold. He didn't have to do it. He did it voluntarily, led by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not asking you to get a tract of land and sell it, but I am calling you, Pastor Sam, with the integrity and honesty of Barnabas, to take everything that you have and lay it down at the feet of Jesus, to lay down your life for him and for your flock. You'll remember the tragedy in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. There, this man in the early church, Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, they tried to duplicate the gift of Barnabas. They tried to trump his gift, but they lied to Peter, and they lied to the other apostles about the price of the land. Both of them, with an agreed-upon price, told Peter a lie. And Peter said, "Why have you lied to me? You've lied to the Holy Spirit." And Ananias fell down dead. And hours later, just a few hours later, Sapphira fell down dead, telling the same lie. Both of them lied to the Holy Spirit. Beloved, what I'm calling this church to do, as you follow Pastor Sam, is to honestly lay down your lives, to honestly lay down your treasures before the Lord under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I call you, Pastor Sam, and you as a church, I call you to be generous givers, as Barnabas was. Generosity in giving to God is ample proof of the presence of the Holy Spirit in control of your lives. lay down your treasures to Jesus. Now, what is this Greek word, lay down? The Greek word is tithemi, T-I-T-H-E-M-I. It means to appoint, to place before, to bow down or kneel down before God to give a gift, or it can mean to ordain. The word tithemi is used by Jesus in John 15:16, and some translations translate the word ordain. If you listen to John 15:16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me." He's speaking to his disciples, "but I have chosen you and tithemied you," if you will. "I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Paul states as well in 1 Timothy 2:7, he says, "Whereunto I am tithemied," if you will, "I'm ordained a preacher." Pastor Sam, before you ever laid down your life to the Lord, he called you. He appointed you. Yes, he laid it down for you that you should lay down your life for him. We're here today to celebrate and affirm and confirm God's call to you to lay down your life before him to be his preacher, his pastor, his under-shepherd. Beloved, laying down our lives is far beyond selling a tract of land and laying it down at the apostles' feet. What God is after in all of us is that we lay down our lives before him, and that we lay down our lives for each other. Pastor Sam, first of all, I call you to lead the way here at Trinity Evangelical Free Church, to lay down your life to Jesus so that your wife and your flock can follow in your train. I know most of you know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But do you all know 1 John 3:16? It is so important as well. We know love by this, that he tithemied, he laid down his life for us. And we ought to tithemi, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Pastor Sam, this first part of your ordained call to pastor ought to be a profound conviction in your life. I think of a New York pastor back in 1910, Pastor J.H. Jowett. He was the pastor of the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, and he once said about his call, "Now I hold with profound conviction that before a man selects the Christian ministry as his vocation, he must have the assurance that the selection has been imperatively constrained by the eternal God." He said, "The call of the eternal must ring through the rooms of his soul, just as clearly as the sound of the morning bell rings through the valley of Switzerland, calling the peasants to early prayer and praise." He also said, "A minister with insecurity about whether he should preach should cease and desist until the Lord rings the bell of his heart with his clarion call." Pastor Sam, the Lord has rung the bell of your heart to lay down your treasures, your life, and your love for him and for his church here at Trinity. Church, I call you then, first of all, follow Pastor Sam as he follows Christ in laying down your life, your lives, and your treasures before the feet of Jesus. Secondly, I call you all to follow the encouragement of your pastor in remaining true to the Lord. I want us to go back for a moment and look at Acts chapter 11. Turn back there with me and look at this text that I read to you earlier today from Acts 11:19-26. The picture is strong here of new Gentile believers coming to faith in Jesus along with Jewish believers receiving the Lord. But this is the first time Gentiles are coming to Christ. In the early church, this is why Barnabas was finally ordained in Antioch. The Jerusalem church sent this son of encouragement down to Antioch to inspect and investigate and find out the truth. Were Gentiles really coming to Jesus? Why? And Acts 11:22 is interesting. It says, "And the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch." Now, why did the church in Jerusalem send Barnabas up north to Antioch to investigate the report of these newly saved Gentiles? Well, there must have been many reasons, but certainly the Jerusalem church, led by the Holy Spirit, had their eyes wide open. They sent a man they knew with a level head, as I said earlier, and a loving heart. And notice what Barnabas did when he went up to Antioch and he found out that the reports of new Gentile believers was true. I read in Acts 11:23, then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Wow. Can you imagine? Why didn't Barnabas chide or rebuke the Jewish believers for winning Gentiles to Jesus? Why didn't Barnabas hurry back to Jerusalem and report the fallen state of the Antiochian church in inviting Gentiles to Jesus? No, all Barnabas did was to rejoice at these new believers. And then he began to encourage them with resolute heart or a steadfast love to remain true to the Lord. Why did he do that? And here's the title of my message again. Verse 24, for he was a good man, just like your pastor, Pastor Sam. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Wow. You know, no matter how you look at it, Barnabas was the right man for Jerusalem to have sent to Antioch. But if you read on, Barnabas had another mission on his heart. It was another convert. It was another man that had been ministering in Jerusalem, and he was too hot to handle. He was saved on the Damascus Road. You remember Saul, who later became Paul, that Barnabas mentored? Well, Acts 11:25-26 tells us that Barnabas left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, this distance was no short journey. For him to have taken this trip 150 miles up north to the tip of the Mediterranean Sea and then west to Tarsus, he had a mission on his heart for Saul. And when he found him, what did he do? He brought him back to Antioch. And together with Saul, for an entire year, they met with the church in Antioch. They taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Pastor Sam, I call you afresh to go after the lost. But don't just stop there. When young believers are truly born again, but looked upon skeptically by others, as they must have looked upon Saul in Jerusalem, go after them as Barnabas went after Saul. Mentor these young believers. Give them your affirmation and your confirmation. Give them a chance to serve in this church. Encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Pastor Sam, these are perilous times. Jesus is coming soon. I call you to mentor new believers in this church to be prepared for spiritual battle in the days ahead. Right here in the Napa Valley, you know about a plane that went down. You know of a plane that landed and about the missionaries to the Aka Indians, five men of God. That's right here. That plane is here. I wish you would go to the museum and see it. Oh, for you to go as Dwayne and Sandy Strand have gone, I encourage you to go. Jim Elliott, who was martyred by those Aka Indians, spoke as a young man many years ago of the dearth and the drought in America of a spiritual wartime mentality. He wrote way back then as a young man, I do not understand why I have never seen in America what missionaries write about, that sense of swords being drawn, the smell of war with demon powers. Our warfare too often is merely a sham fight with shadows, a cold war of weary words. Pastor Sam, I charge you to patiently mentor and instruct your flock with an awareness of the times and encourage your people with resolute heart and steadfast love to remain true to the Lord. Thirdly, and lastly, I call you all to follow the encouragement of your pastor in refusing to quickly give up on believers who have failed. Will you turn with me to Acts chapter 15, and let's look at verses 36 to 41. Paul and Barnabas, it had been Barnabas and Saul, but they came back from that journey as Paul and Barnabas. And they came back, and after a period of time, we read that Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. I want you to know, beloved, that sons of encouragement, like Barnabas and like your pastor, Pastor Sam, they seldom have sharp disagreements. But if there is ever a place for sharp disagreement, it is, Pastor Sam, in finding great difficulty in giving up on a brother or a sister in the Lord in your church that you believe has truly repented. I call you, Pastor Sam, to mentor your John Marks, to even give them second chances after departing in Pamphylia, sailing away to Cyprus with Mark without the pleasure of Paul's blessing may be terribly tough. But remember, Pastor Sam, because of Barnabas' love for John Mark, we have our first gospel. We have chronologically the first gospel called the Gospel of Mark. Trinity Evangelical Free Church, today I want to remind you I haven't called your pastor to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I believe he is preaching the word. I haven't called Pastor Sam to be instant in season and out of season, despite people who want their ears tickled. 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. I believe he is being instant in season and out of season. I haven't called Pastor Sam to doctrinal purity, 2 Timothy 4, 4. Many of you heard of Pastor Sam's defense of the gospel yesterday. He is pure and sound in his doctrine. I haven't called Pastor Sam to be true to his call as a pastor, to make his calling and his election sure. He is being true. I haven't called Pastor Sam to be honest with integrity of heart as a shepherd. He is a man of integrity. I haven't asked Pastor Sam to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. He already has. I haven't called Pastor Sam to not neglect the spiritual gift that is within him. He's not neglecting to use his gifts. I haven't called your pastor to faithfully read publicly the Word of God and preach and teach the Word. He is. I haven't called your pastor to be absorbed in his work so his progress as a pastor is evident to you all. 1 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. He's doing that. I haven't called Pastor Sam to be true to his wife. All the reports I have is he is being true. All of these calls are needed when we are ordained. I haven't even called you, Pastor Sam, to do the work of an evangelist, as important as that is, and to fulfill your ministry. I believe you are doing that. All of those calls and challenges would be and would have been appropriate today for me to give to you, Pastor Sam, as you're being ordained. And yet God has called me to give you, along with this church, Pastor Sam, three calls. And that's all. I call you all, number one, to follow the encouragement of your pastor in laying down your lives and treasures at the feet of Jesus. Number two, I call you all to follow the encouragement of your pastor in remaining true to the Lord. And thirdly, I call you all to follow the encouragement of your pastor in refusing to quickly give up on believers who have failed. That's all. That's all except for one last charge, and this charge came first from the esteemed Pastor Phillips Brooks. I want to pray this final prayer for you all, but especially for you, Pastor Sam, and for you, Becky. Here is the challenge for you all. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Pastor Sam, I want you to be a miracle for God here in the Treasure Valley. I close with the words of Paul to Archippus. They're my final words to you today, Pastor Sam. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Amen. Would you bow your heads? As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I ask you, has God especially spoken to your heart today about taking a stand such as I've called you to take in following Pastor Sam? And if so, I just ask you readily and quickly, would you stand? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I pray for you, and I pray for all of you, that you would follow Pastor Sam as he follows Christ. And then I come to you as a flock. Today, there are people here that need Jesus Christ. And I ask you, how many of you here are not sure of where you stand with Jesus? Would you be willing right now to give your life to him? Would you be willing to repent, believe, and receive Jesus? I'm going to share a prayer with you, and you can ask Christ into your life. How many of you would say, I need Jesus? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to wait just a moment more. Is there anyone else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Would you pray with me? You don't have to pray out loud, but God sees your heart. And I would ask you now to pray this prayer, phrase by phrase, after me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. I'm lost without you. Please, please come into my life. I repent of my sin. I receive you by faith. Please come into my life and live in me by your Holy Spirit. I won't turn back. I've decided to follow you, Lord Jesus. And now, Father, as we ask the deacons of this church to come forward and set up two chairs, I pray that we can have these next moments to lay our hands on Pastor Sam and Becky and publicly ordain them to gospel ministry. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen and amen.